Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Genesis 15:6 is a verse of supreme importance in understanding God's plan of redemption. It says that Abram believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Today, a pause in Abraham's journey to understand a crucial Bible teaching. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on strength for the journey, Pastor Lutzer is in Genesis chapter 15, telling the story of Abraham. Our message is on a lasting faith, and we first learned that Abram believed God.
Now, second word, counted. Reckoned. He wasn't righteous. He was a sinner. In fact, his sins are clear on the pages of Scripture. But it was credited to him as righteousness. God says, I'm crediting to your account something you do not naturally have, and that is righteousness. In the New Testament, if we may jump there for a moment, it becomes very clear. Theologians call this imputation. It was imputed to him. The Bible says that Jesus was counted a sinner. He was reckoned to be a sinner. He wasn't personally, but he was reckoned as a sinner. And what happened when Jesus died is this. He got what he didn't deserve. Namely, our sins were credited to him, and we got what we didn't deserve. Namely, his righteousness is credited to us. That's what imputation is. And when the Apostle Paul quotes this in the book of Romans, he quotes it because he wants to show that God's way of salvation always is faith and not works. That's the context in the book of Romans. And so God says today, Abraham, you don't have any righteousness, not the kind that I need, but I'm going to credit it to you as a free gift. You say, well, how were people saved in the Old Testament times? The answer is this, that God saved people like Abraham on credit. We all know what it's like to buy something on credit, don't we? We all have plastic in our pocket. And we go to some place and we say, yes, I want this article of furniture. And we put it on credit and we begin to enjoy it. And then at the end of the month, the statement comes and it has to be paid. Remember, it has to be paid. God says, Abraham, I am going to save you on credit because I know that Jesus is coming. And in your seed is going to be the Redeemer who's going to be qualified to take away your sin. And already now I'm giving you the privilege of enjoying me and walking in righteousness, knowing that Christ is coming. Because nobody gets saved apart from the work of Jesus. You say, well, did Abraham actually believe in Jesus? He saw Jesus coming with some clarity, not much, but some. But he believed what God revealed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The content of his faith was different than ours, but the end result was the same. Third word, righteousness. What is righteousness? It is the kind of righteousness that only God himself accepts. And the only righteousness that God accepts is his own. That's why we sing, clothed in his righteousness alone. You understand that this has to be a free gift. God does not say, Abraham, now that you've done this, what you have to do is, in order to get it, you need a sacrifice. Go offer a sacrifice. God doesn't say, Abraham, to get it, you have to give money. God doesn't say, Abraham, go off and be baptized. No, it's a free gift. And the reason it has to be free is because this is a righteousness of which you and I have none. We can't contribute to it. We can't make it better. We can't subtract from it. It is the righteousness of God, as Paul shows in the book of Romans. And that means that God can save big sinners as well as lesser ones. Because ultimately, salvation has to be a free gift. Of course, it's better that you be a lesser sinner than a greater sinner, to be sure. But at the end of the day, God says, I can even save criminals if they stop trusting in themselves and trust in Jesus for their righteousness, for the gift God has given. This is the most precious gift God gave to Abraham. It's what he needed the most. And he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Second promise. First promise is protection. The second is righteousness. And now the third promise is that of a glorious future. And what an important passage this is. In order to understand what's going on here in the rest of the chapter, I need to tell you that in those days when you made a covenant with someone, and it was to be a blood covenant, very solemn, what you did is you took animals and you cut them in two. You killed them, you cut them in two, and you laid them in halves so that they were symmetrical. And then the two of you walked through in between these pieces, and what you were saying, in effect, is, if I break my word, I deserve the same fate as these animals. It was the most solemn covenant that you could ever possibly make. So God says, Abraham, take some animals. Take a heifer, take a goat, take a ram, and cut them in two and lay them out. Abraham does. He finds he has to keep the birds of prey away from eating the exposed meat. And then the Bible says that a deep sleep came upon Abraham, verse 12. And behold, a dreadful darkness befell him. And in his sleep, God says to him, Abraham, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in the land that is not theirs. I'm in the middle of verse 13. And will be servants there, and they will be afflicted 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. God says, Abraham, your seed is going to inherit the land, but that's not going to happen for 400 years. First of all, you have to have a child, and then there will be this family that will be created that will go into Egypt for 400 years, and then they're going to come back, and of course we know that that happened under Moses and Joshua, and then they're going to enter into the land. 400 long years. But they'll be back, because God is God, and time is not a limitation to him as it is to us. So Abraham receives this revelation, and then, most startling, this is what happens. It says in verse 17, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenizzites, and then all of these other Gershonites and Jebusites and Megabites and all of the other folks that are in the land. What's with this flaming torch and this pot or this oven? That's God passing through the pieces, as becomes very clear both in this text and other passages of Scripture. The furnace, perhaps representing the furnace of affliction that the Israelites are going to go through, and the torch representing the light that they will eventually be to the world. Both suffering and glory. God says, I am walking in between the pieces. All right, now you've followed it this far, haven't you? $64 question, where is Abraham in this whole thing? The answer is, he's asleep. He's in another world. He's somewhere else. He does not walk with God between these pieces. God walks between the pieces alone. Because what God is saying is, I'm making this covenant with you, Abraham, but guess what? This isn't an agreement where you do your part and then I do my part. This is a covenant that I am making with you that I will accomplish and is not even dependent upon your faithfulness or your obedience, though God will bring that about because I am God and this is what I have decided to do and it will happen and nothing, including even the human will stand in my way. Wow. Welcome to what is called the unconditional covenant. No conditions. God says, I'm making this agreement with myself. It's what it says in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews says, when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, it says in the text. Since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. God says, this is my doing. You say, well, does that mean Abraham could be disobedient, so forth? Well, theoretically, but God, when he makes a covenant like this, in effect is saying something else. I am going to work in Abraham's heart to birth in him the faith. I'm going to do the miracle that he and Sarah need to have a son. And I am going to work through the human will to accomplish my ends. But at the end of the day, this is me swearing by myself that it's going to happen. There's nothing more certain on planet Earth than that Abraham's seed will inherit the land that God gave. And one of the questions we have to ask is, have they already inherited it all? Or is there still a future for the nation Israel? Because God says it's going to happen. And if he says it's going to happen, it is.
Well, I hope that you continue to listen to the ministry of Running to Win as we answer those kinds of questions. Let me ask you an entirely different question. When the Church of Jesus Christ is thrown into the hands of the devil, is the church still in the hands of God? When Jesus wrote to the church in Smyrna, he made it very clear that Satan is going to throw you into prison, but be faithful, I will give you the crown of life. What a story behind the city of Smyrna. If you'd like to read it, it's in my book entitled The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, An Informed Response to Islam's War with Christianity. I believe that this book will give you insight theologically. It will help you to understand the designs of Islam that have been uncovered, even for America. And it will also enable you and give you courage to be able to befriend and to witness to our Muslim neighbors. Ask for the book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, An Informed Response to Islam's War with Christianity.
That was Pastor Erwin Lutzer with part two of A Lasting Faith, the fifth of 10 messages on the life of Abraham in a series called Strength for the Journey. Next time, how God's covenant with Christians is also unconditional, which is why we can have the assurance of our salvation. The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent is a book by Pastor Lutzer analyzing the rise of Islam. This book will be sent with our thanks when you send a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for our next Running to Win.